Tonight we're going to look in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, we're going to continue our journey with the topic of faith. And so we want to look in the book of Hebrews, and then we're going to spend a little time in Joshua. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 31. And we're going to read that verse, and then we will be referencing a passage in Joshua. Let's look at this verse tonight in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 31 says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for the opportunity to spend a little time when we're looking into a person's life and how that our lives intertwine with each other. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us tonight as we spend some time thinking about the refuge of faith. We thank you for the opportunity that we have. We thank you for those that are viewing and those that are here. We do lift up the young people tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'll meet needs in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's notable to make mention before we turn over to Joshua. I think it's notable to mention how this verse begins. And it says, "By faith, the harlot." And so I think about the life of an individual, and I think about decisions that are made in a person's life, and how that God can take that life, and God can use that life, and God can turn that life around. I don't believe tonight that there's anything too big for God. And how that God changed this individual's life, Rahab, and not only did he change her life, he also used her life. And sometimes a person might think, how can God ever use someone like me? How can God ever use a person with a past? And I think a lot of times that people struggle with their past, because I think the issue in some cases is they have a harder time forgiving themselves. Because I think we all in life, as I've mentioned many times, we're on the journey of life, and you know, we're not pleased with some of the decisions and some of the things in the past that we've done in our life. And if we carry those things to feel like that we're useless, then you know, we're hurting ourselves. And how that God can change a life, and God can change a life to a point to where that individual is used in a very special way. What Rahab did, and we're going to share with this topic tonight, God used Rahab in a very special way. And sometimes, you know, I think of her life and her decisions and her past and all those things. And, you know, you don't have to be a certain individual for God to use you. All you have to be is a believer. And I believe that God can use any individual that He chooses. And I think that God has certain avenues that we take in life that God can use individuals that maybe other individuals that maybe he couldn't use. And in reality, God used Rahab that really affected the children of Israel. So I wanted to make mention how that it started that verse. And as she was known as a harlot, but yet it was her faith that changed not only her life, but it changed her family's life. And not only did it change her family's life, it also changed the lives of the two spies as they were being pursued. And so I want to make mention this. Our title of our message tonight is Refuge of Faith. Refuge of Faith. But I also want to preface that God is in control. God is in control, even though we think sometimes, and maybe we even maybe make the statement or maybe make something like this, you know, what is God doing? There's a writer, I've got a book and in my study that a writer, and he titled this book, What in the World is God Doing? And so it's kind of a catchy title, but he makes mention of all the things that God is still doing, although the world is full of corruption, the world is full of sin, the world is full of bad decisions, and it seems like in the world everything goes, but God is still working, and God is still moving. And so that's why I wanted to begin tonight by saying God was in control. And God uses individuals that is willing to be used and just allow him to work. But it takes faith. It takes faith. So Joshua was sending two spies for two reasons. One reason, I believe that they were getting information. They were retrieving information as to what was ahead, what was lying ahead. And so they went out for information. And so they were making plans, and because Joshua and the children of Israel would soon conquer. But there was another reason that I believe that that he sent two individuals out. And I don't believe he knew what was getting ready to happen. And that's Joshua. See, the second reason was God used Joshua because Joshua sent spies to carry out the salvation and freedom of Rahab. It's amazing to me, when you stop and think about it, how our lives intertwine with God's plan. How our lives intertwine with God's plan. Now I want you to take just a moment, and I want you to kind of think back about your life and some highlights of your life that people came into your life that maybe aren't in your life right now for various reasons. Maybe they've passed, or maybe they've moved, or maybe, the paths aren't crossing anymore. But I want you to think back. Is there anybody been in your life that has influenced you and helped you for the good? I can honestly say there are several individuals in my life, close to 40 years ago, 38 and so on years ago, that God put in my path that I haven't seen. Some of them have already passed away and went to heaven, but there are some individuals that are still living that I haven't seen them in probably about 30 years, but yet they influenced me to a point to where I believe it influenced me to be able to be here tonight. And so our lives intertwine. And although we might have the focus of our own life, and we might have the focus of maybe ideas or plans that we have, God still puts people in our life, and maybe you are a person that can help someone's life. You know, you might be part of God's plan to help someone else. You might be part of God's plan, and just for a moment's notice, or just for a few seconds, or a few moments, or a few opportunities that you have in your life, that you can be an influence. Just a word of kindness anymore, to me, is an influence. Because there's so much bitterness and hatred and self-centeredness and all these things in life. Just a word of kindness that a person might say, that person's different. I want to be like that person. I want to find some encouragement. You know, we can spend a lot of time talking about what everybody's doing wrong. But you know, I think it'd be encouraging to talk about what people are doing right, for an encouragement, for lifting up. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's in life itself, or it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, on TV. And I mean, there's just so much evil and so much bad news. But God's still in control. And God's still moving. And God worked in these individuals' lives by someone that is known as a harlot. And that's how she was introduced, as a harlot. So, a little background about her. She was a harlot. She practiced a lifestyle of sin. We know that. She wasn't a Jew. She was not a Jew. She was not from the chosen race of Israel, the Jews. She was a woman in that culture back then. In that culture, she was not considered someone of equal value. And so she wasn't, she was thought of as an outcast. She was an outsider. She was in a lot of ways that she didn't belong. But this woman experienced God's grace. She experienced God's grace. And I'm afraid sometimes people might say, how can God change a life like mine? Well, I believe that He can. I believe that He can, because we see it in this woman's life. So I want to read just a few verses, kind of a little background to what's happening here. And it's in Joshua chapter 2. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told by the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither at night of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that they are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, and they become to search out all of our country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gates, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I won't not. Pursue after thee quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But notice what verse 6 says. "But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know, now this is kind of the testimony that she has, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land fought because of you, faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and were on the other side of Jordan, Shunan and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God be the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that she will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. You see, the testimony of this individual is what she did for others. And so I just want to give you a few thoughts tonight of God's amazing grace, the refuge of faith. So the first thing I wanted to make mention of is that she heard. You know, for this individual, for this lady who's known as a harlot, for her to have a change of heart, there had to be a testimony and there had to be things that she heard and things that she saw. God's great work in salvation reached her ears. Now, you think today you can find out just about any piece of information you want instantly. You can ask your phone. You can type it into your computer. You can find all kinds of information, and you know, the trouble with that is you're not sure how true it is, because there is a lot of things that aren't true. But the point is, they didn't have that back then. So word got out that God was working, and there was a great fear of judgment. There was a great fear of destruction. Well, I think that's one thing that is probably lacking today is people don't fear God. People don't fear of eternity. I think there's such a broad perspective of what death is that you talk to one person and one person might think that all you do is die and then you're gone. And then another person might think, well, as long as you believe something, you'll go somewhere. Or, you know, and another person might think, well, just do good and you'll be all right. And we could go on and on with people's perspective. But in reality, someone that dies without Christ is going to hell. There's not a middle ground. There's heaven or hell. And so the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So there was a great fear, and you don't see quite the fear today. And so I think of the thought here that how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And so the message was getting out, and the message of the opening of the Red Sea, you know, the message of what happened to the two kings that I just read about, the message about the promise of God and how that God was helping his children. And so the things of God should not be kept secret. The word should get out of what God is doing. And so she heard what God was doing. And I can kind of put it like this. She wanted to be part of it. She wanted to be part of what God was doing. So people need to know what God is doing and the fact that God is still in control. Even in the midst of situations that we don't understand, even in the midst of situations and things that are happening, God is still in control, and we should never, ever lose sight of that. and God was in control, and how that the lives of this harlot, Rahab, the life of her intertwined with the two spies, and those lives intertwining together for God's grace, and the fact that God used this person, the refuge of faith. So verse 11 says, if we reread that, and we won't tonight, but if we reread that, it's just ultimately saying that she's confessed. She's confessed the things which what the Lord had done for His people. She was confessing and she was repeating what had happened. And it does go on to say that that as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. And so there was a change that was taking place. You see, she was helpless. She was in a helpless state. She was in a hopeless state. She had no strength to do anything for herself. And that's where man is today. As much as man tries to help himself, man cannot help himself. The only one that can truly help him is the Lord. That's the only one that can truly help man is the Lord. And so, so there's a confession, and then there's also a belief in verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She believed. She believed what God was doing. She believed what God could do. She believed the message that was being proclaimed, and her life was soon to change. Her life was soon to change. When she says, I know, she said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She's confessing to what was taking place. You know, I think of the words, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. She feared, but yet she believed. She feared, but yet she believed. And then she made a request, and that's found in verse 12. She made a request. A harlot. A person that wasn't thought of in a positive way, in any way, shape, or form, made a request. And because of her willingness, and because of her faith, you see, this request was bold. And it took faith. Verse 12 says again, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. She requested. Her faith is what made the difference. The refuge of faith. Her faith is what made the difference in believing what the Lord could do. How that she helped individuals, and God used that. She knew the seriousness of what could happen. She knew that destruction was on the way. She knew the seriousness. And I go back to what I said just a few moments ago. I don't think that many people believe how serious eternity is. They're not serious about that. But yet she requested, and then she received. In verse 14, the Bible says, and the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and true with thee. Our life for yours. You know, I start thinking about when a person gets saved and accepts Christ as their Savior, that's ultimately kind of what they're doing. They're receiving Jesus Christ, realizing that they can't do anything themselves, and they're receiving Jesus by faith, asking Jesus Christ to come into our life and to save. You're saying, you're stepping back from where you are to where God can change a life. And then verses 15 through 24, and we won't take time to read this whole passage, but from verses 15 to 24, her salvation. The Bible says in verse 18, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou dost let down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all the father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be gutless, and whatsoever shall be with thee, or whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if anything be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quiet on thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And look at what verse 21 says. "And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window." And we know the rest of the story. Her salvation was by the scarlet thread, by this faith. What a beautiful illustration of God's grace. God's amazing grace. I think of that song that says, "And when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb." They knew where she was, and she was saved in her house. The Lord heard. She trusted. She trusted. She was saved from wrath and destruction. But yet Rahab was used by God in a mighty way. A wonderful picture of God's amazing grace. It's amazing how our lives intertwine with other people. We should be cautious, and we should be willing to allow God to use us to help someone. Just with an encouraging word, just lifting, you know, anybody can be judgmental, but it's by God's grace that we encourage. Rahab did exactly what God wanted her to do, and he used her. Someone that most people would just turn away and say, "We don't want no part of this." But aren't you glad tonight that when you said yes to Jesus, that it changed your life, and you're not the person you used to be? The refuge of faith. What a blessing it is to read about someone's life and how God changed that life just by their willingness. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. And we thank you, Lord, for this passage. And there's so many things that we could bring out, but Lord, it's just the simple things that you show us. Just simply living the life of faith. And help us to realize, Lord, that God could use every one of us if we're willing. that God can use us in a most unlikely way, Lord. You know that. Help us to realize that. And so, Father, as we soon part, Lord, help us to be conscious of trying to act the right way and be the right way and be encouraging to a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, that we will be a light that points people to Jesus. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.